angel, the book starts in Hebrews chapter 1 by saying, God who by his times and by his grace spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Thoughts by his Son. In Paul's terminology, that suggests impersonal agency. Not personal agency. This is spoken by Jesus himself talking to each of us, but impersonal agency. He has spoken to us through Jesus' word. The New Testament, if you please. So one time God spoke to the fathers in a variety of different ways, but today he speaks to us through the word of Jesus Christ, the New Testament. He being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself cleansed my sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now the Bible, or the book, begins by saying, God sent Jesus to speak to man for God. Is that right? After chapter 1, the whole ship changes. Because at the beginning of chapter 2, from that point on, it is Jesus went back to God to speak to God for man. He speaks to man for God, chapter 1, and then he speaks to God for man, chapter 2, and the following chapters. It's interesting, in chapter 1, just as a sidebar, that Jesus is described as the express image of God's person. The word translated image spells C-H-A-R-I-K-T-E-R. Transliterated character.
Jesus has the very character, the very essence of God.
And thus in chapter 1, he is God, speaking to man for God. Then you come to chapter 2, and in chapter 2, he becomes man. And thus is able to speak to God for man. That's why chapter 2 teaches us to think of him in a special way. The first description of Jesus, chapter 2, verse 2. It was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. Go back to chapter 2, verse 1, so that's not Jesus. And bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of the salvation perfect, complete through sufferings. If you like to mark in your Bibles, underline, circle, or highlight, and choose the word captain. Here's the first major description of Jesus in the book of Hebrews by the Holy Spirit. He is the captain of our salvation. He's more than just the captain of the ship. Abraham decided where the boat would go. He's more than just the captain of the team who's called by the referee to determine what we're going to decide as a result of this penalty. He's more than the captain of the court to whom the rest of the team turns for advice, direction, encouragement, influence. The word captain here translates a word that carries the idea of one who's God. Somebody that's called a God, and you can go all the way back to the beginning, and you can see him by faith. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In the beginning, the captain here is the Word. When you go back to the beginning, and there he is. There he is. His Word here, okay, is danger. The ship can't be righted. We need to make our way to the shore. Somebody has to take the lifeline and swim to the shore. Someone jumps in, takes the lifeline, puts himself in harm's way, and swims to the shore, and there attaches the lifeline so the rest of us can jump off the ship and use the lifeline and make our way to safety. He has gone out there before he's the captain. The captain of our they may lack his brethren. But he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Make that high priest. All things pertaining to God, to the propitiation for the sins of the people. High priest. I'm going to ask you to hold on to that description in a minute, because when we get through looking at some of these descriptions, we're going to come back in the last 10 minutes or so of our study. We're going to think about Jesus as our high priest. Now, with all of that, chapter 2, remember in chapter 1, Jesus is God speaking to man for man. In chapter 2, he becomes man so he can speak to man for man. And in chapter 2, that we found that man has been made a little lower than the angels, verse 7. But this man says, we see Jesus. Keep focused on Jesus. We see Jesus, who was man and remains man, a little lower than the angels. Man has been made a little lower than the angels. Jesus has been made a little lower than the angels. Put it together. Jesus became man and in that state became lower than the angels. I'm reading about his humanity. I'm reading about his humanity. Verse 13 says, and as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shall be the same. But through death he might destroy him who had made who had the power of blood, that is, the devil. And so here is Jesus, having become flesh and blood, but a little lower than the angels, so that he could become a man, live as a man, relate to man, go back to God, and talk to God for a man, as our high priest. Pause a moment. If you study the words high priest in the New Testament, you know where you're going to find it most of all? Book of Hebrews. Only book of the New Testament where Jesus is thus described. I think that underscores this description boldly. And so a study of Hebrews would be incomplete without a thought of Jesus as our high priest. That's why we're just going to mention it here and come back to it for the last 10 minutes of our thoughts. A third description comes to us in chapter 4. Verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 9, having been perfected, he, Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He is, if I read to mark in our Bibles, the author. Not the author of a big read. Not the author of one of those great books to which Bob got our attention yesterday afternoon. He might have. Folks, you need to get that lecture. Not because I love math, but I want to help you do the library. He's not the author of a good book. He's not the author of life, although that is the case. In this passage, he is the author of his eternal salvation. He's the author of eternal salvation to an exclusive group of people, to those who obey him. Now, the word that is translated author here is the term that means cause. He's the cause of our salvation. Are you saying? Yes. Why? Just because. But that's an incomplete answer. Are you saying? Yes. Why? Just because. Just because of Jesus. No. With great boldness, without a moment's hesitation, listen to what I say to you. Faith will not save your soul. Hold on with me. Bible says, they therefore justified, justified by the sin, justified by faith. Well, it takes the Bible to describe what it says. Baptism will not save your soul. Hold on with me. The Bible says, baptism does not save us. That's what it says. No, it says that. The Bible won't want to save your soul. The gospel is God's kind of salvation. Romans 1:16. In Hebrews chapter 6, we'll look at verses 19 and 20. This hope we have, speaking of hope, as an anchor of the soul, our soul steadfast, in which God is the presence behind the veil. That is, that's past, by the way. That's past. Is that supposed to be past? It's not supposed to be past. So we get to start out.
I see him there. I see not only what I can become, but but I see what I can enjoy, and I see a God that is faithful to His Word. Faithful to the point He put him there, just like He predicted, and faithful to the point, because He was faithful through those years, He's going to continue to be faithful and give me my promises. Give me what He's offered. God's personal pledge.
Take all of that to verses like 2 Corinthians 5:20,
where He was made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God through Him.
The next description is in chapter 8, by the way. We failed to mention this when going through that question 9. How many people are keeping people focused on Jesus? But the thesis statement, the theme of the book of Hebrews, is chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is the main point of the things we're saying. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You know, when we're writing in English composition, cap writing, English cap 101. Oh. And we have to learn how to write, and we always have to write a thesis statement in the first or second paragraph. Well, here's the thesis statement. Tell us what the book's about. This is the main point of the things we are saying. Main point. If you look in the financial world, they make an investment that's a principle. And our work principle of compound interest, it just grows and grows and grows. And so over the years, you have all of this cash because all of this interest has been added to your principle. Now, the term translated main point is illustrated by the principle. Everything else in the book is the interest. Everything in the book that we have to enjoy, we have around this principle, this one main point. We have a high priest. The seal at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens, what is it? A minister. That's the main point. A high priest, I have that chapter 22. I've seen that one. But what is a high priest? A high priest at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
His majestic city at the right hand of God, He chooses to still be my minister.
And the one who I am is a minister for Jesus.
Yes.
But Jesus is a minister for you.
I don't deserve that. Well, I'll take the time, but you can look at chapter 9, 16, and see that He is the testator. The author and finisher of our faith, chapter 2, verse 12. And then the book concludes by calling Him the Great Shepherd. When my time is up, in the last 2 minutes, I want to come back to Jesus' description as that Great Shepherd of the sheep. For the last 2 minutes, I want you to think with me about Jesus as our High Priest. And we could go all the way through the book and look how it's described in that manner and in many different passages, but I want you to spend just a little bit of time with me in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. But not how we go through this, but Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. A great deal of attention is given to comparing Old Testament high priests to Jesus as our high priest. Now, chapter 7 is introduced this concept of us being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek is fleshed out to show that just as Melchizedek is great, Jesus, our high priest, is great. Here's the reasons why. Hebrews 5, beginning with verse 1. And going through verse 4, 4 things that can be said about the high priest in the Old Testament. Number 1, connection. Every high priest to confirm what we are of will is appointed for me on things pertaining to God, but they may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. High priests in the Old Testament were extracted from the pool of humanity. They put on their breeches, but everybody else put on their breeches. Everybody in Texas put on breeches. They bled red blood like everybody else bleeds red blood. And so the high priest of the Old Testament came to connect to his fellow Jews because they said, and guess what he said? They had witnesses, guess what? He had witnesses. So he could help them connect to God as a go-between. He could help them in their relationship with God because he could relate to them. Be one of them, connection. Number 2, there's the word compassion. He can, verse 2, have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. Since he himself is also subject to weakness. He came from man as a connection. Therefore, he has witnesses like his fellow man Jews, and he must have compassion with them. He can feel with them because he knows what they're working through, what they're struggling with, and how they feel. It makes him a great conduit between Jews. He connects with them and has feelings for them as one who knows what they're feeling. Number 3, mission. Verse 3, because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. That was his mission. That was his purpose. His purpose was to offer sacrifice for sins and help people be right with God again. Number 4, by revelation. No man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just of our nation as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
How dare we become dull of hearing when Jesus was willing to be that for us?
How dare we put him on the back burner? How dare we be individuals who are no longer excited about Jesus Christ?
Physical needs. He takes care of our emotional needs. He takes care of our spiritual needs as that great shepherd. He said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. Those are Jesus' words. I am the good shepherd. The Holy Spirit said, No. He's the great shepherd. So perhaps you've heard the story of two altars that were before the great assembly. And the first was a very clean altar. And he got up and he read Psalms 23. And when he finished, the way the Lord followed after his lips, caused everybody to stand and get a standing ovation. The next reader was an old preacher. And he got up and he didn't read it. He just quoted. And the words didn't roll off of his lips. And many times, because of his age, he would bubble. But according to it was such pathos that when he finished, there wasn't a dry eye in all of the assembly. And then he stepped away. And there was a voice in the back.
What were the methods?
And the minister came to the microphone and said, ladies and gentlemen, our first speaker tonight, Mel Song. Our second speaker, Mary the Shepherd.
I hope
that a study of Hebrews will help you not only know the Shepherd, but love him.